New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It's raining? I had no idea. I heard that, and during the break, I looked at the window. Like, the window is covered in rain, and I'm dreading the drive home already. What'd you say?
The TV wasn't out in there?
Oh, that's why the TV was out?
They went out.
I don't know. Sometimes when I'm hosting a show, I get locked in. I'm just like, I have things I want to hit in my notes, things I'm Googling, things I want to say. I saw the DirecTV logo floating around when I was trying to watch this Bronny James game, and I didn't put two and two together. Hello, KM to AM, Keith McPherson on the Fan. Still got 2 hours. Phone lines are wide open. So, I mean, we might as well start the open mic time now. Whatever you want to talk about, I will sprinkle in some new stuff as well as go over what we've been talking about since 7 p.m. on my program. And we started with Hard Knocks. Bum, ba-na-dum. I think this is the best version of Hard Knocks. Just three episodes in. I don't need to see the preseason, like, random guys that you'll never hear from again. The nonsense that these guys do in between practices, like, it's run its course with that. And we're still going to have it, but this offseason Hard Knocks, especially for the fan base, like, that has their team in it, like, of course, the Giants are the first one. It's great for Giants fans. You're getting all the answers you need about what they did this offseason and how they built this team, what they're prioritizing, who they're prioritizing, how they got them. It's great. 888-808-1019. Now, I don't know exactly how the Giants are going to do this year. I've been saying they're a fourth-place team. I just went and looked through their schedule. I said, man, weeks three through eight is going to decide their season, whether they're tanking for a quarterback next year, whether they're moving on from Daniel Jones or what. But I think as a Giants fan, and I'm not a Giants fan, I can't speak for you guys, call up and speak for yourselves, you gotta feel good about having football guys as your GM and head coach. Joe Judge was a fraud. Dave Gettleman, I won't say he was a fraud, but I think the game had changed and passed him by. I think Shane and Dable are your guys for the rest of the 2020s. 888-808, like, I just think that you have to feel good about where you came from with the different head coaches and the GM you had, that now you've got these guys, they have conviction, they know what they want, and they're going out and getting it, and they're slowly turning this roster over where there are no more Dave Gettleman guys. They're having all of their guys, and that's what they'll be judged on, the team that they put together. We talked about Pete Alonso a lot. Again, I'll repeat it. I don't think Pete Alonso will be traded at the deadline in 13 days. I get it. He's batting 240. He hasn't been clutch. He hasn't hit enough homers for you. He's still Pete Alonso, and Pete Alonso's don't grow on trees. I think that this plays into your hands because he went out to get Scott Boris, and let's say he has a great second half and raises his value. Steve Cohen can still afford him and outbid anyone. Let's say he has a worse second half than he had first half, then you'll have a decision to make about the future of your team with or without him, and you can still afford him if he wants to be here and test the market and comes back to you with those numbers. We've talked about the Yankees. We were just talking about the Yankees and Nestor Cortez, what he put out there, and how the Yankees have to understand that they have an easy strength of schedule the rest of the way. They are the New York Yankees. Teams and fan bases do want to be them. And they got to act like it. They got to remember that. They got to remember who they are, what they represent, and go out there ready to fight every night, knowing you're going to get everybody's best shot, knowing that it's been 15 years since you got to the World Series. And this year, the team that has knocked you off in the last three ALCSs that you've been to, they're just starting to figure it out. They're not as strong as they once were. They don't have the pitching that they used to have. They don't have the lineup that they used to have. It's all right in front of you, and you do hold the pen, like Aaron Boone says. We talked about Tyler Kolek, and we talked about the New York Knicks, Mitchell Robinson, and what they're going to do at center. Are they going to trade Miles McBride now that they seem to have some depth? now that they seem to have multiple guys at the point guard position. I'm in here watching Bronny James in the summer league. A better start for that young man. All the trolling and all the conversation must have got to him and the Lakers coaches. Maybe LeBron phoned it in and said, hey, stop shooting the three. Don't you take one shot from deep, lay the ball up, and hustle on defense. I saw an article today that made me laugh because it said Jeannie Buss made the decision to draft Bronny James. Oh, sure she did. Sure she did. And if she did, it makes sense. Nepotism. She's the owner of the Lakers from her dad. Rich Paul is the one that put that information out because Rich Paul was on the Pat McAfee show talking about Jaylen Brown and the video that went viral of him saying, I don't think Bronny's a pro. And of course, these guys, all they do is lie. LeBron and the lies, all they do is lie. Oh, we weren't talking to J.J. Redick. Just stop. None of us are dumb. Like, just stop already. J.J. Redick, nobody else was hiring to coach an NBA team. He went from coaching his son's elementary school basketball team to coaching the Lakers. And so now Rich Paul is saying Jeannie Buss was the person who decided that the Lakers were going to draft Bronny. Okay, yeah, I guess, you know, to appease LeBron. The quote was, look, Jeannie Buss decided that she's making this call and she's been able to see Bronny in all aspects, not only from a basketball perspective, but also from a character perspective. And he has everything that aligns with the Laker brand. And so you have to make that type of call. At the end of the day, we're not going to spend too much time on that. Bronny has to work his way, and he will. Yeah, he's got a lot of work to do. 888-808-1019. What else do we hit on? Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers going to Egypt to smoke some ayahuasca, do some psychedelic drugs. I don't think that you just go to Egypt to see the pyramids. I don't think you go to Egypt to try the food during the first official camp for the Jets. I think that there had to be some type of thing that he did. And he doesn't have to come out and tell us, but we know, you because you already told us you were going to South America to smoke ayahuasca.
You ever hear anyone say they're going to Egypt for the food?
I don't know anyone that's gone to Egypt. Actually, my friend Tiffy went to Egypt, and I just, even from her like Instagram story, I was like, that's a wild place to go.
You go see the pyramids or the mummies or whatever. Yeah, it's desert. Cool, like it's a cool historic place to see.
But I've never heard anybody say that they're going over there to get Egyptian food. No. My man was going over there to trip. I'm sure there's some type of psychedelic thing that you can only see over there in Egypt. And Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to miss that trip. And it wasn't the type of trip that Aaron Rodgers could move. He had to join the trip when the trip was going on. And he told Rob Saleh, hey, don't worry about it, bro. And you know what Rob Saleh said? I'm the head coach. I'm going to tell him this was unexcused.
Remember episode 2 of Hard Knocks when they had Joe Shane jokingly saying, I'm going to say this to the media, and then he's like talking to the PR guys, don't worry, I'm not going to say that.
I love that insight too, like, for, don't the, you for think, the combine.
Do you think Robert Saleh has a guy, a PR guy, who's sitting
by
with
now,
him and training him? Come on.
Bro, after the way he handled all the Zach Wilson stuff in the media, by now they better
He's so clunky. Like, every time he opens his mouth, something, like, goes wrong.
By now the Jets better have a whole team, 3 or 4 guys that are like, they're going to ask you this. They're going to ask you this. What are you going to say?
They asked every follow-up, too. They asked every question, and they did it perfectly.
Those Jets reporters are good, though. Those Jets reporters are really good.
They're the same as the Giant reporters, though. They put it on the show. They had, like, you know, the PR guy asking the question, and then they show the question actually at the press conference. And then the PR guy asking it. They go back and forth. They did such a good job on Hard Knocks. Where is that with the Jets?
Rob just goes rogue.
I mean, every time he just blabbers and gets himself in more trouble.
He's the head coach. You can't tell a head ball coach what to do, Aaron Rodgers. But clearly, they answer to Aaron Rodgers. Clearly, it's Aaron Rodgers' show. And I don't think that Davante Adams is going to be a Jet. But Davante Adams came out and said, if there's anybody they're going to unite me with, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. So where there's smoke, there's fire, I guess. I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. Now back to you. 888-808-1019. You said we had the break here?
No, I was saying I had those Davante Adams clips if you want to.
Oh, yeah, now you have the audio? Yeah, let's run the audio so that, you know, you don't have to hear me verbatim. Let's hear Davante Adams on Club Shay Shay. Shannon Sharp is winning while Skip Bayless is losing.
I'll answer like this. If I'm going to be reunited with anybody, it would be Aaron.
Okay.
But or be, you know, relocated and be anywhere, it would be with Aaron. I'm actively on the Raiders.
Right.
What do I look like sitting here talking to other people about being on another team?
Right.
You know, and that's how I still feel about it right now. Like, I'm locked in with the Raiders, and I really feel good about this team. And you know, as far as I know, they feel good about me.
What do you look like? You look like a potential trade target for the New York Jets. What do you look like? You look like the next guy on Aaron Rodgers' wish list. What do you look like? You look like you're on Netflix right now in a show called Wide Receiver, and you're not having too much fun. Last season, if you don't have fun this season and the Raiders are trash, maybe they think about trading you. But I don't see any world where we're going into training camp and they trade this man before they can even line up 11 on 11. Joe is in Rutherford. What's up, Joe? You're on the Fan.
You're Jay Schmeezy. What's up, my guy? You're going to have to stay dry after you get out of here. It's raining pretty hard.
Man, I'm not looking forward to it. It is what it is, especially because now we got to go out this back entrance. They're working on the elevators, and I parked in the front. I got to go through. I'm definitely going to be – it is what it is.
Dodging raindrops. But listen, I know you were talking about, like, you know, Shane and Daboll. Have you ever seen a white guy with more sauce than Coach Daboll? Do you see, like, the way he daps dudes up? Like, that guy is...
I said that about him right away where, you know, the first win they got against the Tennessee Titans 2 years ago, he goes in the locker room like, yo, play juicy.
Listen, he's invited to the cookout. There's no doubt about it.
He's got Jordans on. I've seen him with plenty of different pairs of J's. I'm like, this is a guy that's been around some brothers.
I love it. But one thing I did want to mention as well, you know, you got a huge shout out that you know, this week on the John Boy Aaron Boone interview there.
Listen, my haters say they don't know who I am, Keith Who, but the name is ringing. They were saying my name on the other station. Somebody sent me that today, and then yesterday they sent me Aaron Boone saying, "Well, Keith McPherson always says." I said, "That's my guy, Booney. You know what? I'm gonna take it easy." I'm going to take it easy on you and the Yanks, Boone. I know you're listening to KM to AM on the Fan.
So listen, I have two questions. The first, what's your take on Evan and Tiki not asking Craig about his relationship with Susan? Do you find that odd? Do you have any take on that?
I was listening, and I knew that, like, Evan, you know, Evan dropped a goodness gracious, and I think he even said, like, out of all the dramatic things, but he didn't ask him. It was a miss. But I felt like it was something that was potentially told to them. And then Al Dukes obviously called them out. But I felt like they left it alone for a reason. Like, oh, you know, let bygones be bygones. That was in the past. Maybe everybody forgets. Nobody forgot.
And, I agree. It was a little weird, but it could have been a conversation prior to the conversation.
I was about to text Susan, but I was like, let me stay out of this. Let me mind my business. I was about to text Susan about it or see if Susan wanted to come on. Susan should come on the afternoon drive show and talk about it. Maybe they do that right before August 9th, 10th, 11th, before it happens.
Of all the dramatic things. And then, listen, my last question. Let's say Keith McPherson gets called up to the Yankees and he's going to be batting eighth. What is your entrance music? What are they going to, after they announce your name, Keith McPherson? You know, center field, what song are they going to play?
Man, it's got to be something for the Bronx. It's got to be some, like, oh, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be 100. It's going to be Big Pun, Tony Sunshine. We got to pull that up. We got to pull that up next break.
Beautiful thing. Thank you so much, Keith. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Jay Schmeezy. 100%. Big Pun, Tony Sunshine. For my Boricuas. BX.
Toma.
Hey, this is instrumental. And we won't stop. We always knew we'd make it. Even though you play and hate it, still made it to the top. That song I played in Puerto Rico right after Craig called me on Carton and Roberts to announce that I was taking over the nighttime job for Steve Summers. And if I had a walk-up song in Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, RIP Big Pun, it would be 100% Big Pun featuring Tony Sunshine, and that would rock the place. That would rock the place. All right. I mean, back to the calls. We were talking Yanks, Hard Knocks, Pete Alonso, everything now. It's wide open. Whatever you guys want to talk about. It's the Fan in New York. Manny in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Manny?
Keith. We're in Brooklyn, but be a stand-up always.
Yes, sir.
All right, Pete. Let's get right into it. The Mets need to trade Pete Alonso. They cannot take the Ohtani route and let him go for nothing. He's going to be a free agent. They have a gap in the salary. He wants a substantial amount of money. They're not willing to pay. I don't think nobody's willing to pay it. Might as well get something for it, for him.
It sounded like the Saquon Barkley conversation, right? Now, you know, I heard Tiki talking about, in retrospect, could have got something from Saquon and kept him away from the Eagles. I don't think they're going to do it, though.
But, I mean, there's teams like Seattle, Texas, Houston. They have good prospects. They might just pull the trigger and say, you know what, we're going to go for it. The Mets were in a rebuild year anyway. Might as well just stack up and go for it next year.
I feel like David Stearns, thanks for the call, Manny. I feel like David Stearns knows the Pete Alonso trade market because it was around this time last year that it was floated out there that the Brewers and the Cubs were interested in trading for Pete Alonso. And where was the man from Milwaukee? He was with the Brew Crew over there at Miller Park. So I think he knows what his value is. I think he knows what the trade market is. I think he'll take the calls. But ultimately, I don't think they fear losing Pete Alonso. I don't think that they fear letting him walk for nothing. Because if they really want him, they have the owner that can pay for him. Simple as that. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be back right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Play fake. Jones rolls left. Throws left. Wide open for the touchdown is Bellinger.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now batting number 18, Keith McPherson. All right, right back at it on the Fan in New York. I got like 90 minutes. 13 minutes until the next break. Watching Bronny James and I'm listening to the announcers build him up. They must have got the memo from Rich Paul and company. They're talking about, oh yeah, you know, he was fighting for his life. He had the cardiac arrest. It's not easy. I mean, this kid has had every challenge you can imagine thrown at his way. Yeah, and his dad has swatted it. What are you talking about? His dad swatted it like he swatted Iguodala. What are you talking about? I've had a ton of challenges thrown my way. You want to go through those? It's funny. They can control the narrative. This guy, he's gonna put in the work. Look at him here. Like, there was a loose ball right there, and he dove on the ground. But he dove on the ground so early, he didn't even get a hand on the ball. If he would have just ran to the ball and picked it up. Right here, they're showing it right now if you're watching this. What are you doing, bro? Why'd you dive so early? Get the ball. And then he tries to pull up. I guess he knocked down a three finally. But he tried to pull up from the mid-range, and I'm like, that's not the shot, brother. That's not the shot, brother. But what do I know? I can't hoop. I used to be nice. Ocean Breakers. Shout out to Ocean Breakers, AAU. I was good. Then I got, I hit puberty. I got the, knee disease. My knees swelled up. I lost my handle. I got taller. Then it was just football for me.
He kind of looked like his dad just then, though. He was complaining to the ref.
Yeah, that's genetic. That was passed down. 888-808-1019. Talking everything.
James!
Whoa, that just scared me. Bang! Mike Breen. I just lost my train of thought. I was like, what are we doing? Talking everything from Hard Knocks offseason with the Giants, been incredible. The New York Yankees outlook for the second half, what they have to do at the trade deadline, who they need to be with a soft schedule coming up. The Mets, Pete Alonso, I just don't know why so many people are down on Pete Alonso. I feel like same way you were down on Nimmo, same way you were down on Francisco Lindor, same way you were down on the whole team. That's going to change in a couple weeks if Pete comes through and starts hitting and winning games and doing what he's supposed to do. Season's not over. Everybody's saying he's had a down year. No, he's had a down 3-4 months. What else? Jets, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the song that does in and... I mean, can we see the guy play? That's all. I just want to see the guy get under center. I want to see the guy take a shotgun snap. I want to see the guy do what he's supposed to be doing. I've seen him do all these other things since he's been in the great city of New York. Not much football. All right, back to the calls we go. Phil is in Middletown. Phil, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Big fan. Been listening to you every night driving home. I'm on Route 36 in a pouring rain. Just wanted to talk about Hard Knocks a little bit.
Monmouth County, shout out. Drive safe.
Monmouth. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Keith. So I'm watching Shane in action, and it makes me crazy that we kept Gettleman around all these years when we got this. He seems like... Shane's like a tactical assassin. Like, the owner wanted to keep Barkley. Shane said, basically, we're not going to do it. They should have never drafted him. And it also showed you that, like, it's kind of wild at the beginning of free agency. They just, like, email the offers out. Yep. These players don't even really care where they go. It's all about who pays the most. And, yep. You know,
it's a free-for-all. Like, and it's first come, first serve, and you got to have your numbers. And he had his numbers ready, and that's why he wasn't budging on Saquon, which I loved. I also loved that he told Dan Morgan, like, what are we doing, Dan?
Like, what? Absolutely.
You need a 7-round pick. Why don't we do what we said we were going to do? And he talked him down.
I don't think Dan Morgan was picking draft, you know, Brock Purdy with that 7th-round pick that he was, you know, begging for. But I just, you know, it makes me also, you know, with the parallels to baseball, like, what's going to happen with Soto? Because I think it really is. It's all about the money. The older I get, the more jaded I'm like, it's all about the money.
Yeah, maybe.
So I don't know.
I don't know. Well, thanks for the call, Phil. Jalen Brunson exists. It's all about the money, but Jalen Brunson's like, and I don't need all of it. I'm trying to win. We need money for the rest of the team, and like, I'm going to make money. I saw he was just shooting a Nike commercial in New York. Some PR people have hit me about this big roommates podcast event they're doing in Central Park. I'm not going to buy a ticket, but I'm like, yo, let me get that media credential for that. I'll pull up with my Nets hat on.
Well, what'd they want you to do there?
They want me to watch and come back to the Fan and tell people what I saw.
So wouldn't they comp your ticket?
Yeah, I think they were, you know, something in the email I read, and tickets go on sale soon or whatever. I'm not buying a ticket, but if you can put me on the media list, I'll show up and take pictures, put it on social media, come back and tell the folks at WFAN. It's like Action Bronson's performing. I'd like to see that. Mikal Bridges is going to join the podcast.
J.B. Smoove, I saw.
J.B. Smoove and some other Knicks fan. I'm like, damn, these Knicks fans got it, man. It's a Knicks world again. I wasn't ready for it to happen this fast. John is in Old Bridge. John, you're on the Fan.
How you doing? One quick thing that I wanted to say before what I want to talk about. If you go look up Marcus Jordan's stats at University of Central Florida, he actually was better than Bronny was at USC.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We were having a little conversation of all of the players who's like, you know, I didn't name Austin Rivers last night or two nights ago. But, no, there's a lot of guys whose kids were actually legit that played and were legit. They didn't have to force it. They didn't have to draft them. They didn't have to put them in over their heads. But we'll see what happens with Bronny.
Right. All right. So what I want to talk about, Joe Shane. Believe it or not, I think he's on a hot seat.
Okay.
First off, when they made the playoffs in 2022, I know he was the GM for that offseason. But think about it. The core players of that team, all Gettleman drafted. Andrew Thomas, Daniel Jones, Dexter Lawrence, Saquon Barkley. All right? So Shane comes in. What does he do on offense? Wan'Dale Robinson, who could be good. Evan Neal, who's a bust so far. He doesn't handle the Barkley situation correctly. They caved to Daniel Jones. Nobody was going to pay him what he was asking for, which was $40 million a year. They caved for him. They should have never signed him to that much money. They should have used that money to sign Barkley and franchise tag Daniel Jones, let him prove himself one more year. Next, what does he do on offense? Trades for Darren Waller. The guy retires the next year. Then what does he do? Their best position group on the whole team is linebacker and defensive line. He trades two twos for Brian Burns to make that group better than it already is, instead of using those picks to potentially trade for somebody on offense to help or obviously draft somebody. I think if they have another 4 to 5 win season, he's gone. Because from what I see, I don't think Mara likes what he did with the Barkley situation. Maybe he doesn't understand it from a football perspective. He's just looking at it from the owner perspective, because I think he was seeing it as ticket sales and jersey sales, saying how Barkley was our most popular player. So I think one more bad year from the Giants as a team, Shane's gone.
Okay, John, I'm not gonna talk you down. I'm not gonna counter, because you did make some good points. But what I'll say is this: they won that playoff game. They won Coach of the Year, and so even the mistakes that were made, I think that bought them some time. They also are coming off of Dave Gettleman's era and multiple head coaches, and I don't think that they want to fire a head coach GM after 3 years. I think that there's going to be more patience. I think that they're going to see this through with these guys, and I think what you're seeing with this Hard Knocks thing is a PR move as well. I said that earlier in the show. I'm like, this is showing the world that this is Joe Shane's operation. This is Brian Daboll's team, and like, these are the two guys that came in. It's their show for the next 4, 5, maybe 10 years. And I don't think John Mara is going to say, you're out of here if Saquon Barkley and the Eagles go win the Super Bowl. I think they're going to have patience. I think they're going to stick with it. I think they're going to let this thing develop. And I expect them to go get their own quarterback. But I think you're correct on a bunch of fronts that, you know, they won with guys that they inherited. That, you know, that Kadarius Toney move, at the time, we thought it was great. Darren Waller pursued his rap career. It's funny, you trade one rapper for the next. Who's the next rapper on the Giants? Because we need an Oh My God Candelita on the Giants. I already spoken into existence with Darren Waller, but we need one of these guys to actually put out a hit single and perform it at MetLife. Maybe Sauce. I know Sauce had some bars he put out there. Maybe the Jets will have. Maybe Sauce Gardner. Sauce is already like a rap name. Sauce Gardner's got to come out with a hit single and perform at MetLife. Anyway, I don't think he's on the hot seat, though. I don't think the head coach or the GM are on the hot seat. They're too comfortable. You can see how comfortable these guys are. They won 6 games last year. They're chilling. Let's go to East Rutherford, talk to Kenny on the Fan. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, what's going on? Just wanted to talk about the quarterback situation going into this year. I personally can't do another year of Daniel Jones. I don't think he has it. I think that we got to go the Drew Lock route, and even if he's not the long-term answer, I think that it's a better move to see Drew Lock out this year than give Daniel Jones the keys again, because it's just going to be a disaster again.
I think it's inevitable. I'm waiting for them to clear Daniel Jones for 11-on-11 full contact, and that's coming up in these next couple weeks with training camp. Obviously, once they get the pads on, let's see what they do with that. But then also, you got to go off of his injury history. Coming back from an ACL, a neck injury, I think the guy's going to get hurt again. And that's why you go get a Drew Lock. And I think they even kind of hinted at in Hard Knocks, like, hey, this guy, you know, he's coming here. They said that they were going to compete with the Seahawks for him. But he was incentivized to come here because he knows Daniel Jones is rehabbing. And Daniel Jones is one hit away from going down, and it's his team. There's not too many teams you can start in the NFL, and Drew Lock is sitting there just patiently waiting. And I think, like, even when Drew Lock first came here, he kind of said that, like, oh, he was told that he'd have a chance to start here, and then he walked it back to say, no, this is Daniel Jones' team. I'm here to just, you know, compete and make him better.
No doubt. I think he's going to get hurt again for sure. I think he's unreliable. He can't sense any pressure in the pocket, and that's not something you can teach. I mean, the guy can throw the ball well. He can run the ball well. But at the end of the day, if you can't feel pressure in the pocket, especially with the offensive line unit, which I hope has improved, he's just not going to be reliable. He's going to get hit, he's going to get hurt, and then we're going to owe him a lot more money than we already did.
Yeah, yeah, and that's in the contract. And I've said it a bunch of times, others have said it, his legs are a big part of his game. So if he can't run, and he has to sit in the pocket, read defenses, anticipate defenses, make throws, throw into windows with new receivers. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to – how is it going to click if he's not cleared for 11-on-11 practice? You need those reps. Maybe he's cleared. I don't know. I'm rooting for Daniel Jones. It just seems like this is his greatest challenge yet. He's overcome a lot. But, man, this one right here coming up, like, this is going to be tough, and this is make or break for his Giants tenure and his NFL career. Who knows where he's going to end up. But I think they structured that contract where they don't want to pay him, and they're prepared for 2025 with that $22 million. They're prepared. The salary cap is only going up. 888-808-1019. We've got Yankee fans on the line, Jets fans on the line, Giants fans on the line. More of that right after this.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. Like I told you, we'd be right back after this. KM to AM. It is not AM yet. PB in the building. Pat Boyle coming up next. Pat Boyle already spoiled Hard Knocks for everyone last night, so we can't do it again. I'm just messing with you, Pat. Let's get back to the calls. We're talking about the Yankees next. We're talking about the Jets next. We've done a ton of Hard Knocks, Giants, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones. Let's go to Will in New Rochelle on the fan. What's up, Will?
How we doing tonight, bro?
Good, good. How are you?
Not bad. I didn't mean to call about Bronny James, but I actually liked what you were saying earlier. Got me thinking about it. I meant to call about the Yankees. I have certainly a lot to say about them, don't we all? But like, I feel like everyone's a little too hard on Bronny. You know, he's a one-and-done guy. Everybody, when you think of them as an NBA star, is a one-and-done guy. LeBron James, someone called earlier. Oh, Marcus Jordan is... Oh, he's better than Bronny James. Sure he was. He was a 3-year college guy. And if you look at his freshman stats, 8 a game, 2 rebound, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 41% field goal, 27% 3. As a freshman, Bronny, a second-round draft pick, 4.8 a game, 2-2, 36% field goal, 26 from the 3. So he was worse than him in the 1-year sample size. It's all rushed. I'm just going to show the guy nothing but love, man. Like, his dad's one of the greatest, so, you know, as an investment for the league, why not the Lakers just take a shot there? If they hit gold, it's a great narrative. You know, he's just a great player. But I got nothing bad to say about him. You know, I think the best thing for him, if anyone knows a little college basketball, he could have went to Duke. You know, like, he could have played with Cooper Flag. Oh, still, you know, if Bronny wanted to really develop, get that extra year in college, the best spot for him, if I'm LeBron James, hey, go to Duke. You're my son.
No, nah, anyone. Bron didn't like Duke. Bron was a UNC guy if he would have went out there. And Coach K, I know Coach K is gone now. John Shire, like, I don't think Bronny would have played. They stayed in L.A. At USC, and they weren't even good, and he couldn't really hoop for them. What I'll say is this. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. This is the king's son. This is the prince. He's going to get scrutinized. He's going to get criticized. He's got to battle through it, and he's got to be serviceable, and he's got to find his way in the NBA. It's too late now. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. He's a pro now.
No, exactly. I completely agree with that. And, you know, that's also a con of the one and done. Like college football, you got to play 3 years before you go to the NFL. I like that. You know, these guys can really fully develop. I'm sure there's guys in college football that can be a one and done. But the NBA with the one and done, like you said, man, you know, I can't sugarcoat it for the boy. He's LeBron James' son, sure, but he's a one and done NBA draft pick. Like, let's go. It's your career. So I hope he makes a name for himself. But
he looks a little bit better tonight, but he's been overmatched. And I think what most people are saying is he didn't deserve to be picked 55th overall. He didn't deserve a $7.9 million guaranteed contract. If he had any other name on the back of his jersey, he wouldn't have got this. But that's what it is. It's nepotism. And it comes with the territory, and like Jaylen Brown said, it's a flex to be able to do that for your son. LeBron is LeBron, and he's allowed to do that. Jeannie Buss understands nepotism. They punched it. Now let's see what he becomes. I honestly don't think that he's going to become a starter in the NBA, I don't think that he's going to be around for too long.
I don't disagree. We'll see. You know, I don't, he's going to play in the G League this year. So, you know, there's definitely guys that could have been drafted over him. And like you said, Bron is a UNC guy over Duke. So I'm from Westchester. So, you know, shout out RJ Davis. That boy is a bucket. Our Archbishop Stepanak from White Plains,
mm-hmm.
even as a ninth grader, he was just straight killing. The New York City Catholic League for high school basketball
mm-hmm.
is about as good as you're going to see. So he was killing from ninth grade on. He's an All-American. But to jump into the Yankees, because like I said, I got quite a bit there. I hate when I'm on Twitter and, you know, you're looking through. I follow a bunch of MLB pages and all that. I like to keep up with the whole league. So first half grades. I saw a grade for the Yankees at B. So I saw one page with a lot of followers had a D. And I'm like, this is what you said earlier. You made a point like, man, everyone's so hard on us, man. Come on. It's how it is. Like, the Yankees are the Yankees. The Cowboys are the Cowboys. The Lakers are the Lakers. You know, like one of those names.
So there's a different bar. There's a different set of expectations for you. When you make that much money, you have that many fans, you have that much talent.
Exactly. And honestly, I'm the biggest Yankee fan you'll meet. So, you know, anyone listening out there that isn't, you'll be like, oh, come on, Will. Like our first half grade to me is still, I give it an A- for 2 months.
You can't
there
get
was it. No one out there.
You can't
There's
get
no
an
one
A.
Out there.
You can't get an no. A finishing the first half as the worst team in baseball,
A
winning
minus.
One series.
A minus.
You can't get
A
an
minus.
A. You can't get an A.
Exactly.
You can't even get an A minus. Thanks for the call, Will. No. We just talked about there's a higher standard. They're taking an AP class. You can't get an A. You can't get an A. Not failing like that. They got swept by the Cincinnati Reds in the Bronx. I went to that first game. I was like, they're cooked. Masataka Yoshida. Just the way that the last game, and I don't want to go backwards because we're getting closer to Thursday, then it's Friday, then it's positive energy, thinking warm, fuzzy thoughts, nice, wins, greatness. But no, I cannot give the Yankees even an A-, just the way that they ended that last game of that last series before the break. No. Now, if you want to give them a B, okay. I would give them a B minus. And you heard Judge say, well, you know, if, you know, coming off last year, if you would have told us this is where we'd be in the standings with this amount of wins, a lot of guys would have taken that and some. No, no, no. Stop going off of 82-80. You think Jeter would have been cool with that? No. And that's why Jeter's still picking other teams and still talking about the past because he can live off that. He's still the last one to win a World Series. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, the standard of excellence has to change. It can't be, oh, well, we'd sign up for this coming off 82-80. No, you should be in first place. You shouldn't go a month without winning a series. You shouldn't go a month without winning back-to-back games. I'm not giving you an A. Let's see what James in Westfield thinks about those New York Yankees. What's up, James? You're on the Fan.
Hello?
Hello.
So, off the point you just made about well, first off, sorry. How are you? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, I'm great. So, off the point you just recently made about how you currently give the Yankees a B-.
Yeah.
I don't even think I'd go that high. So, personally, the way I see it, like, I'm a Yankees fan. The past however many years, you know, you have a great roster on paper. They don't perform, you know? And, we're not going anywhere in the playoffs. So the way I think what we should do, and I want to see your view on this, but I think we should fully rebuild. There's only three current players on this team that I consider keeping.
Okay. And they are?
Soto, Oswaldo Cabrera, and Jason Dominguez.
You're trolling me.
How am I trolling?
Soto's a free agent, so there's no, like, we keep him. We can try to keep him. He's going to go to the highest bidder.
No,
Oswaldo Cabrera?
We need a trade for international pool money.
What?
We got to start looking down.
Yo, you guys with the loopy on the late night. It's not even 11 o'clock yet. You guys getting to the sippins. You guys are cracking the brewskis. Hitting the flask, huh? Oh, no, I know what y'all boys be on. You boys be on the gummies. Call the Fan, say anything. This guy said the Yankees need to completely rebuild. He gave them a C. You can't give them a C. They were an out away from finishing the first half in first place. You can give them a B. Can't give them an A based off of the month of June. But yeah, I knew you were trolling when you said the three guys that you would want. I'm like, okay, you'd only keep three guys? We're talking about a rebuild. The first thing I was going to say, look at the contracts we have. You're not getting rid of that Stanton contract. You're not getting rid of that Judge contract, and why would you want to? Same thing with the Garrett Cole contract, and why would you want to? So start with those three guys, those large contracts, and those three guys. They're not going anywhere. But I understand you were trolling. Rami, let me know when you get the Nick Wright audio. I don't know. Did you go out there to try and cut it? I know it takes time. All right, so the boy Rami Lavie has cut up. Okay, shout out to Pat. Pat did it. I know you guys are always working in tandem. I don't know how to do any of that stuff out there, so I appreciate it. Nick Wright went on his show earlier today, and we got a break right now, actually. We're already up against 11. See, because you guys wasted my time with the trolling. Gary and Waterbury, we're coming to you after the break. What we're going to do is play some other sounds and some commercials, pay the bills, whatever, I don't know, cars for kids. And when we come back, we'll play what Nick Wright has to say about these Jets going into 2024. And the first caller will be Gary from Waterbury. We're going to, you know, speed up the show. We'll do that. And then the next break, we'll do my Casamigos big shot of the night. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. We'll be back after this quick timeout.